What's going on, everybody? Happy opening day. It's the NS9 post-game show powered by Primantes. I am Jim. With me is Neil. Neil, the Pirates win a thriller. 12 innings, 6-5 over the Miami Marlins on opening day. What a game. I can't take my heart can't take 162 of these, Neil.
I was in agony for the last hour of this game. Like, just the constant crawling back and then all the stupid plays. It was, and we won.
Yeah.
We won. No, I mean, I did not enjoy a lot of that.
I'll say this. So first off, first post game show of the regular season, the Pirates won, which means we're giving away sandwiches right now. So if you see on the corner here, comment hashtag raise it anywhere in the comments. That'll automatically put you into a drawing for 2 free Primanti Brothers sandwiches. So hashtag raise it. Just put all throughout the show, go ahead and just drop those comments. But yeah, man, Neil, what a game. I'll say this too, like, going in really the whole game, I was like on the edge of my seat. This was just a really, really good baseball game, and it just felt different than. It was a great. I mean, this was a great baseball game.
But it was not good baseball play.
You can argue, like, from a sloppiness standpoint, right? Yeah. It was surely, there were some sloppy moments, but this was an exciting baseball game.
It was.
You got your money's worth tuning into this one. That's for sure.
Yeah, that was a 3.5 hour game in the extras. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it is something, like, you know, like, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world, but the Pirates are constant. They never make it easy.
Yeah,
that was a Pirates game. Lots of strikeouts, lots of runners left on base, some bad defensive plays. And yet we're sitting here like we were in September of last year, and the Pirates somehow won this baseball game. I don't know how.
Let's get into it. Let's kind of talk about it. Again, keep dropping hashtag raise it in the comments. That's going to get you. That's going to get you into the drawing for the Primanti's free sandwiches. But let's kind of start at. I mean, let's start at the end, right? Like, I mean, the very end is kind of where all of the drama happened. The 10th, 11th, and 12th innings, the Pittsburgh Pirates, first off, base running. We talked about that. Just insane. They get three runners thrown out on the base paths in extra innings, and they still somehow pull this one off. Jared Triolo coming up huge in the 12th inning. He was having a terrible baseball game. He was 0-for-5 at this point. He had committed an error in the field at second base. Just a dreadful game by Jared Triolo until the 12th inning. He gets jammed on a pitch inside, loops it over the second baseman's head. That scores Ke'Bryan Hayes to give the Pirates a 6-5 lead. Then there was some crazy madness that happened on the base paths afterwards, but
I didn't find that craziness. You know, like, that actually made some sense. You know, you want to see if they get confused, you try to score. That actually was fine by me. It was everything else. But I mean, yeah, the bullpen was nails today.
Yeah.
Especially at extras. Like, they were absolutely clutching, I think, all the outs we needed to, especially there at the end. Like, Luis Ortiz, I saw someone up in the comments saying, like, he was player of the game. And I didn't think it like that, but it's hard to argue against that. I mean, he did everything he needed to do on 11 pitches, 2 innings, shut the door. He was awesome.
He really was. And I mean, he was a guy a week ago we were talking about is even going to be on this team, right? Mm-hmm. And then he comes into it as a reliever. And Fangraphs hasn't updated their win probability chart since the sixth inning. So I can't even see. But I would argue that Ortiz probably was the most valuable player in this game from a win probability added standpoint. He came in the 10th inning with a runner on second. Mm-hmm. Didn't let him score. Pitched the 11th. Mm-hmm. Didn't let him score. Some huge double plays in both of those innings that he was able to induce. He looked impressive. Like you mentioned, super efficient. And your boy, let's talk about it right now, Derek Shelton. He coached a hell of a baseball game today. Like, you got to give the guy some credit when he deserves it. And
I wasn't gonna bring it up, but yeah, like I was impressed. Like, yeah, you know, it is a bit like a lot of the Derek Shelton stuff is a bit, but like that was he didn't really put a wrong step forward today. He got the Oliveras pinch hit correct, like exactly at the right time. All his bullpen moves were on point, and that challenge was kind of dumb, but it was kind of a who cares? It's the 11th inning. It's a desperation move, but. Yeah, no, it was a great game. And if you want to know what Ortiz was like, I'm on Savant's win probability. Every time he would come in, it would drop. It would be at 80% win percentage for the Marlins. It would go back up to 50%. Mm-hmm. We would squander and go right back down. And so it was kind of like he was the one turning the tide.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and Brian Hayes.
Yeah, Luis Ortiz plus 30% in win probability added on Baseball Savant, it seems.
Wow.
So actually, no, plus 61% for Luis Ortiz. So yeah, he is the MVP if you look at it from that standpoint. Let's kind of talk about Derek Shelton and just the moves that he made here. I think there was a lot of criticism about the lineup, right? It's day one of the regular season. You had people criticizing the lineup. And I mean, justifiably so. Like, you had Connor Joe leading off. You had O'Neill Cruz batting sixth. You had Rowdy Tellez in there against the lefty. But every move that Derek Shelton made in this game worked, right? Starting with, I mean, let's start with the bullpen, right? He brings in the sixth inning. Mitch Keller goes out to start the sixth inning. Fleming comes in to finish it, gets the one out needed to finish that game, that inning. And then in the seventh inning, against the lefty reliever, and this was another wrinkle in today's broadcast. I didn't even realize that this role changed over the offseason, but Andrew Nardi had to stay in to face one batter in the seventh inning because of the new rule where, like, you have to face three even if you're coming in at the end of an inning. That's not right. That rule didn't change, did it? Because Fleming only faced one batter. Was Greg Brown just making stuff up?
I think once the inning ends, you can just use another pitcher. I was surprised.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. That's what I thought too. So Greg Brown was just making stuff up. There was no rule.
I was surprised that Andrew Nardi faced Cruz. Like, so I was really surprised.
Yeah, Fleming pitched the one batter. Nardi faced three, right?
Nardi
faced four. But Nardi leads off that seventh inning. It was supposed to be Rowdy Tellez. Tellez pinch hits. Edward Olivares pinch hits for Rowdy Tellez. And Edward Olivares hits a solo homer. It's the first time the Pirates have had an opening day pinch hit home run since Nate McClouth in 2007. So that was kind of cool. All right, here's what the rule is. The rule is, if the pitcher warms up, they have to pitch in that inning. That's what it is. So it wasn't the whole three batter thing, but because Nardi went out there to warm up, he had to face one batter. And so Shelton pulls the right string there. He pinch hits Olivares, gets the home run. The Pirates add on another run there in the seventh. The Pirates kind of took it to the Marlins bullpen, right? I mean, Jesus Luzardo looked really good today. Struck out eight, only gave up two hits. The Pirates weren't getting much off of him. Brian Reynolds did hit a two-run homer.
That was an absurd pitch to hit a home run off of. That was above the zone. It was tailing out. I have no idea how Brian Reynolds pulled that out of the yard. That was impressive.
And yeah, that was a good piece of
that was a no-doubter home run. But yep. Yeah, Luzardo was fantastic tonight. Like 18 swings and misses, 8 strikeouts. We were lucky he stopped at after the fifth. He was looking really strong. I thought he was going to go out for at least 6 innings. But we did make them pay. Like we got to the bullpen early, and we kept chipping away, and that was the big thing. And I don't know, like, it didn't really feel like when we only scored like 1 run when we loaded the bases up twice in 2 innings, I was kind of like, oh well, that's the game, it's over. We kept fighting. Of course, you had Cruz tie it up with another ridiculous home run that should have been a pop up out, but it left the yard. No, it was a really gutsy effort from a team that didn't hit too well today.
Yeah, I think, Giga Masha here brings up a good point. Like, if this is an opening day and you're maybe watching Lozardo's pitch count a little bit, like, maybe the Pirates don't win this one because he goes another inning or two. But yeah, Lozardo just done after 5 innings, and that's when the Pirates' bats kind of broke out. They ended up getting 7 hits off of the Marlins' bullpen, let's see, 6 walks as well. They were clogging the base paths. Took them a while to kind of break through there in extra innings, but they chipped away with 2 runs in the 7th. And then in the 8th inning, off Sixto Sanchez, who's been getting a lot of fanfare, you know, over the last few weeks. Sixto Sanchez, it was like the second pitch. O'Neill Cruz just flicks his wrists, and the ball goes 384 feet opposite field to tie the game.
That made no sense. Like,
it was insane.
It is one of those hits. So, like, when you look at that pitch, it's like, oh, that's just a fly out. I'm like, oh, this is out. Yeah. That's unfortunate. And then it kept carrying. Greg Brown getting excited. Like, there's no way that's going out. But he does.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, we did really clog the base pass. 2 for 17 with runners in scoring position was agonizing to watch. But I think this is a game of why having power in the lineup is so important, because we 100%. Did not hit well. We did not have good situational hitting, but we hit 4 home runs, and that kept us in the game. And so if we keep hitting with power, I'll deal with the 17 strikeouts a game if we keep homering.
Yeah, let's try to avoid the 17 strikeouts, but you're right. 3 home runs today: Olivares, Reynolds, Cruz, and they needed all of them, right? They needed every last one of them.
3-4.
Yeah, but that Cruz homer, it was impressive. He wasn't really having a great game at the plate, you know, up to that point. So to see him kind of break through and hit that first home run of the season, it was a very welcome sight to see there. But Pirates, the bullpen. Let's kind of get into that, because you mentioned they were locked down. Keller struggled. I would say, like, Keller wasn't hitting his spots today. Keller didn't have his best stuff. His fastball velocity was a little down from where we saw it last year. The thing that stuck out to me too, his sweeper, the break on the sweeper was down quite a bit. Like I said, the location of that sweeper, he wasn't really burying it like he should have been. He gives up 7 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned in 5 2/3, only 3 strikeouts. So he gets pulled, but like I say, gives away the bullpen. Fleming cleans things up in the 6th. Hunter Stratton, who makes the team as a non-roster invitee out of spring training, he gets the ball for the 7th. Starts off, gets 2 outs. Ryan Borucki then comes in, picks up right where he left off last year, like dominating. He gets 4 outs, strikes out 2, ho-hum, no hits, no walks. Ryan Borucki, just an outstanding outing there. And I think that was almost like the turning point where it's like, all right, like Borucki got out of a mess there. Chapman comes in, closes the door in the 9th, looked really good doing so. And then Luis Ortiz, just outstanding work in extra innings. And then Jose Hernandez, for some reason, David Bednar not available today. I don't know if anybody has any updates on that yet. I haven't been on Twitter here in a bit, but David Bednar doesn't pitch the 12th. Jose Hernandez, who didn't make the team out of spring training, he's only here because Roansy Contreras had a baby. So Jose Hernandez comes in with a runner on second, and shuts the door, like pitches outstanding. Ground out, fly out. Pirates win.
I was not happy when I saw Jose Hernandez pop up on my TV screen.
Yeah.
I was nervous. I was like, we just got a run. Now we're going to Jose Hernandez. But no, he was great. And I think the really impressive thing with all those guys is how efficient they were in attacking the zone and getting those outs. Like, when you look down the lineup, like Fleming, one pitch, Stratton, eight pitches, Barucci, 14, Chapman, eight, Ortiz, 11, Hernandez, 11. Like, they were attacking the zone. They were getting aggressive. They were getting the Marlins hitters frustrated. And when we look at how the Pirates approached, like, the other bullpen, we were making those guys work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those Marlins bullpen guys had to labor a lot outside of Sixto Sanchez.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Like, we were, it never felt, unless there was a runner on in extra innings, it never felt like they were in danger of scoring. And that's a cool thing to have.
Yeah, I mean, the last four pitchers the Pirates put in the game, Barucci, Chapman, Ortiz, and Hernandez, no hits given up by any of them. Ortiz walked two, but both were intentional. So it's like the Pirates' bullpen was in complete control of this game from the get-go. Stratton was the only one who gave up a base runner, and that was a hit in the seventh inning, which, like, again, Brucky cleaned it up real nice. So real quick, guys, make sure if you're commenting and you want a free sandwich, hashtag raise it in the comments, all one word, hashtag raise it. We'll do a drawing here at the end, but let's talk about Keller a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't sharp, velocity was down, opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried at all?
Not really, surprisingly. Because he was still getting a lot of missed swings and misses without his best stuff. And really, maybe I was biased, but I really think he was unlucky to give up that many runs today. You know, we had the Jared Triolo error that didn't turn a double play. And then the next inning, Keller couldn't field the ball correctly. We didn't get another double play. And Jake Berger, I don't think he hit the ball hard a single time today. And he was just all over the place. He was a menace. So, I mean, it wasn't great. Like, I don't think Mitch Keller pitched well. But I don't think he deserved the stat line that he got.
I think that's, I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say he deserved it. Like, he didn't look sharp. Yeah, the defense wasn't great behind him, but he wasn't getting the strikeouts when he needed to. He wasn't executing pitches when he needed to. He was off today. And I guess, you know, my question that I asked you was, you know, is it time to worry? Just to ask that to myself, no, right? It's opening day. It's the first start of 32 this season. So I'm not worried about Mitch Keller. Mm-hmm. I do think it's, you know, maybe something you have to look like keep an eye on. Like I said, Art says here he looked a little rusty. He did. And he didn't really look all that sharp during spring training either. But you kind of hope that he just builds his arm up a little bit, gets into a groove, and hopefully he does that sooner rather than later. But seven hits, two walks today. He just wasn't sharp, even with the poor defense behind him. Because there were two double plays that you mentioned that should have happened that didn't. And that was in the second and third innings. And the Marlins scored four runs those innings. So, like, those don't count as errors, right? Because you can't assume a double play. But if those two double plays happen, yeah, we're talking about a completely different game. This game doesn't go 12. This game might be over, in regulation with a Pirates win. So, yeah. I could see, you know, where you're coming from. Maybe he didn't deserve this line, but I also don't think he really quite looked too good.
Yeah, but it's what I don't agree with is that, you know, he made his entire... Yeah, he got his extension off his fastball.
Mm-hmm.
And now he seems like he's kind of ditching the fastball to be more of like a cutter style pitcher and a cutter sweeper pitcher. And I get what you're trying to do. I get that. I understand, like, he has a nice sweeper when it's sharp. The cutter did miss some bats. But I just don't know why we're like drifting him away from what made him good in the first place. that's easy for me to say from an outside perspective, but that's just what I notice.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, sinker, he only threw 13 today. Sweeper, he threw 20. He was heavy cutter, like 27 cutters today. That was the pitch that he threw the most. He had a 38% whiff rate on his sweeper. So despite the movement being down on that, he was still getting the swings and misses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, it's one start, so like not anything I'm going to get worried about, but certainly something to just, again, keep an eye on, because he's important. He's important to the team's success. He's like the one starting pitcher that you can rely on.
If you're paying him that money, if you're the Pirates, you need him to pitch better.
Yeah.
For sure. And if there's one encouraging thing, is that they have ditched his curve and his changeup. So he's just not throwing those anymore. And those were his worst pitches. And so if the sweeper is getting 30% whiff rates and it's not that sharp, and the cutter is not quite there on the first start of the season, that's better than what it was last year.
Yeah.
Now he just needs to get the fastball back, because the fastball sitting 93 just doesn't feel great.
Yep. No, that's fair. Let's talk about the offense. I felt like there were some good things that happened today. There were some bad things that happened today. You talked about the runners in scoring position. That was definitely the most frustrating part of today.
Yeah.
Andrew McCutchen in particular, 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. He had four strikeouts today. He was not seeing the ball well. I don't know if that's what it was, but he not his best game by any means. Cruz started off slow, but again, the homer was huge there. I do want to talk about Ke'Bryan Hayes, though, because I think Hayes did a ton of things early in the game that helped the Pirates, one, get on the board, but also just kind of keep the lineup moving, right? Because he was in the three hole today with McCutchen, Davis, Cruz behind him. Those guys behind him didn't really get the job done with runners in scoring position today, but Hayes did a really good job of just kind of getting the lineup to those guys. They just need to come through, right, the next time they're in that situation. But Ke'Bryan Hayes today, 2-for-4 with a double and two walks. So he got on base 4 out of 6 plate appearances today. Just an outstanding opener from him. Dan mentions here, too, you can't take Hayes at third base for granted either. I thought Hayes just an outstanding game at the plate defensively. I think he started at least four double plays.
Yeah, his defense was insane today.
Two double plays.
We always talk about it, but, you take him for granted because he makes it look so easy. Nolan Arenado is known for his defensive prowess because he makes a bunch of flashy highlight plays. Ke'Bryan Hayes just smothers everything before it even looks impressive. The biggest thing I saw from Hayes today is walking twice, because he's never been a big guy who walks a lot. It's never been his game. He's never been someone who's going to take a lot of pitches. So if he can, even bump that walk rate, up to around, a 9%, that's scary, because not only is he hitting the ball hard and he's elite at defense, but now he's also, able to get on base. That's pretty big. That would be huge for the Pirates. And, especially if he's going to cement himself in that three slot, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. I think we're all expecting really big things out of Hayes. We saw the potential just that he can give this team at the end of last year. And you saw it early on in his career, you saw it just in spurts. This guy's just so athletic and he's so good defensively that you can just figure out at the plate, this guy's something special. So a really, really, really good first game for Ke'Bryan Hayes. So that was outstanding to see. I want to talk about Henry Davis too. He was only 1-for-6 today, but he hit the ball hard every time. And he was up to the plate in big spots today. He was yanking line drives to the left side of the infield, and they were just getting caught. There was in extra innings there, he had the one that was kind of dropped, but a couple other opportunities earlier in the game where just tugged line drives to the third baseman. So He was hitting the ball hard today. They weren't falling for him, but his line out, his out in the 12th inning, 660 expected batting average, line out earlier in the game, 680. So like his one hit was a little dribbler, right? It was just like a swinging bunt. And then line out in the first inning too, 490 expected batting average. So he had three hits today that were hit hard and normally would fall down, but it just didn't happen. But I was encouraged with what I saw from Davis today, because he at least put the ball in play when he was up to bat with runners in scoring position. For the most part, he had one strikeout, but just they weren't falling for him today.
No, and like he wasn't missing on breaking balls nearly as often.
But I felt he did a good job of laying them off too, out of the zone.
He was taking a lot more pitches. Like, he does look a lot better, and I forget who said it, but like, I think he led spring training in like line drives. I think that was Eno Harris. So I know we kind of talked earlier, like really early in the offseason, how you weren't sure how you liked his new swing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll work if like he's going to keep spraying those line drives. And you're right, they are going to fall. Eventually, Jake Berger won't be, you know, playing Cabrera level, Hayes level defense there.
Right.
And he will get those hits. Or, you know, that really unlucky one that went straight to Tim Anderson, that he probably should have run out but didn't. Those are the at bats you want to see him take. And, you know, sometimes the results don't happen. It's baseball and it's a hard game.
Absolutely. Gunner asks here, we really didn't talk about this too much, but the base running and extra innings, he asks, you know, was the base running late in the game on the coaches or the players? I'll say this, it was Davis who got thrown out at home. The wild throw. Mike Rabello was sending him.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's because maybe it's like, hey, you know what, Josh Bell needs to make a play here to get you out. So let's make Josh Bell make a play. I'm curious on your thoughts there, on that particular send, because what happened is Josh Bell just picked up the baseball, threw it home, and Henry Davis was out by 30 feet, right? So
insanely stupid. I understand what you're trying to do, but that wasn't the dumbest things I've seen in a long time. I know Rabello is very aggressive, but there was one out, no outs when that happened. Just keep him at third.
There's one out. Yep.
There was one out. Like, keep him at third. Get the sacrifice fly. Like, that is getting way too. If the ball went out past Bell, that'd be one thing. But you don't send him when the ball is right next to him. I know we've all seen Bell struggle to throw a baseball, but he is a Major League Baseball player. He can make that play. So it was so dumb. I don't get it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a clear replay there. Mike Rabello is sending him. So yeah. That was a decision that was made to send him. And yeah, I think with one out in extra innings, you don't do that. I mean, it's still the ball was sitting 95 feet from home plate, right? So yeah.
It's too easy of a play to make.
Like, I agree.
So I guess the second one wasn't really his call. That was just like the preset play.
Yeah, the contact plays, honestly, I'm cool with them. Like, I would have a contact play on in Major League Baseball 100% of the time.
No, that's like fair. That was unlucky.
It doesn't work a lot, but there are times when it works. And if you don't go, then all you're doing is just staying at third, and the next guy has a 75% chance of getting out anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I think it was unlucky that it happened to be a tapper right to the first baseman playing in, you know. And you take those risks, but I don't think that's on Rabello, but I mean, what do you think of that? The third one where they were after Triolo hit in the run.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, that's just on. You know, you're thinking that the cutoff man's not getting that right, and the cutoff when the cutoff man gets it, then you're kind of just screwed. You're out in no man's land. That one is more on Triolo really than anything. Like, Triolo needs to read that better. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna go ahead and say Davis's is on Rabello. Mm-hmm. Triolo's is on him. The contact play stuff, that's just a call play. So I'm not going to blame anybody for those.
I think that's a fair thing. it just kind of summarized the game. There was sloppy defense from a lot of people, and then we kept running ourselves out of runs on the bases. It just didn't feel like a game we were going to win. I feel like every Pirates fan had that pit in their stomach saying, oh, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
And we pulled it out. It was really nice because of the lockdown bullpen.
It was a very, very entertaining game. Like I don't think you could have asked for a more entertaining game for opening day. Like you wait all off season for real baseball, and then you got today. Like this was theater. Like it was highs, it was lows. It got your blood pumping. It got you up out of your seat. There were big moments. There were low moments. It was a really entertaining baseball game. So, before we move to this giveaway, though, I'm going to give everybody a few more shots here. We've got some entries into this contest. Hashtag raise it. All one word. Hashtag raise it. Just comment that somewhere in the comments. That's going to get you an entry into the free sandwich. We're going to do that in about a minute here. But before we do that, you had anything else to add as far as how the game went?
No, but I'm happy baseball is back. As much of a heart attack it's causing me, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun to just watch real meaningful baseball. And it, like I said, it felt different this year because like opening day is always a special day, right? It's a special day for me. It's a special day for all baseball fans. But this one in particular feels different than the opening days of the previous few years because there's like real true hope for this team. I'm not saying this team's going to go to the playoffs, but this is the first team in 5 years where like there's a legit chance that it could happen. Mm-hmm. So it just felt different just watching the game. Like it made you be on the edge of your seat the whole time. It was just super entertaining, entertaining baseball.
Because even like with close games in like the past 5 years, like you said, like you don't feel like that like anxiety because it's like, oh, whatever, the Pirates are still going to lose 90 games.
Yeah.
But today is like, oh my gosh, if we lose this, we're already falling behind. This is awful.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to be one game back. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you got to be in first place after today. Yeah.
Yeah. The Reds already won. Please, your God, don't. Please don't blow this. And so,
yeah. No, there's going to be some national account tonight that sends out a picture and it's like, retweet this if your team's undefeated. And Pirates fans are going to be able to retweet that.
Yes.
So, all right, we're ready for this giveaway. Let's get to this. So bear with us. This is my first time doing this. So hopefully it works. So we've got 45 entries into the Raise It contest. Get your Raise It in here before we hit this button. But as soon as I hit this button, it's going to give me a name, and that person's going to win two free for Manny sandwiches. If you are the winner, just contact North Shore 9 in some capacity, whether that's NorthShore9@gmail.com or North Shore 9 on Twitter, Facebook, Discord. However you contact North Shore 9, do it there. But yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Drawings closed. Let's hit the button. Oh, this is kind of neat. It's got everybody in. It's like a wheel. It's like a wheel of fortune. Uh-oh. Hey Gabe. Congrats, that's kind of cool with the confetti too. There you go. Congrats, Gabe. So Gabe's our first winner of two free for Manny sandwiches. You know what? I actually got this thing too. Look at this. We made this. I think Cody made this. That's pretty cool. That's Gabe. NorthShore9@gmail.com or Twitter or Discord, however you want to get a hold of us, let us know. Shoot us your address and we'll get those free sandwiches out your way. But that's all I got today. Pirates win 6-5. It was an extra innings thriller. Awesome game. What else? Any closing thoughts, Neil?
Love that baseball's back. I'm happy to watch 130 of these games again.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun year. I'm actually excited.
Yeah, me too. Thank you all for watching. Chat was awesome. Like the video, subscribe to the page if you haven't. Make sure you hit subscribe because you'll automatically get notified anytime we go live so you don't miss out on any sandwiches. So hit that subscribe button. And if you want to support us further, you can hit the join button. and you can become a member, get some cool perks. Everything we do here is free, but if you want to support us further, you can always do that too. So that's all I got. Pirates win 6-5 on opening day. They're 1-0. They're in first place. They're on pace to go 162-0. I think Ke'Bryan Hayes is on pace for about 400 hits. So let's keep it going.
Sounds good. See you guys later.
See you guys later.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go, Bucks.